This is the message delivered by Pastor Che on December 29, 2024. The message title is Mindset of Christ Jesus. And the scripture passage is from a letter to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Good morning, everyone. This is the last service of the year 2024. I thought this year has flown by so fast. Looking back on this year, I feel that God has helped us in many ways. I hope that this service will be a time to give thanks for God's work and to gain strength for the new year to come. I would like to read today's Bible verses from a letter to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Let me give you some background. The church in Philippi was the first church Paul founded in Eastern Europe, which can be confirmed from Acts chapter 16, verse 12. Philippi was a city under Roman colonial rule. It was a city with many Roman veterans and many patriots. So this city has had a very strong Roman color, and there were a few Jews. The church started as a place for women to pray and worship, as can be inferred from the names of the two female leaders in chapter 4. The city had a lot of patriotic people, so when Paul proclaimed that Jesus is God and King, he was met with a backlash. Even in the mindset of that opposition and persecution, this Philippian church was a church that was zealous toward God and striving to preach Christ. Paul wrote this letter while in prison, and it is well known that the theme of letter to Philippians is a joy. For the people living in this city, Roman citizenship had become very important. It seems that there were many privileges to which they were entitled by virtue of their Roman citizenship. The Philippians were well aware of this, and perhaps that is why Paul emphasizes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, that our nationality is in heaven. I think he wanted to convey that we had the privileges and obligations in a different sense as those with heavenly citizenship. The letter touched on many topics, but one of them dealt with a certain problem in the Philippian church. It was a schism. From chapter 1, verse 17, we know that this division is a partisan division. They are preaching Christ and doing ministry for God, but some of them were doing it out of a selfish ambition. Paul's text for today is about this challenge facing the Philippian church, and he encourages them how to deal with this as people whose nationality is in heaven. First verse says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. It is divided into two parts, and the first half focuses on the human aspect, that is Paul's encouragement and love for the Philippian believers. If my words of encouragement helped you to hold fast to your faith in the past, do so now. If my love has comforted you in your suffering, respond appropriately to my request now, Paul says. The second half is about the relationship with God. That is, it focuses on the fellowship of the Philippians that was born by the Holy Spirit. And I think it is saying that God is wrapping them in warm affection and mercy. If you belong to a community born because of the Holy Spirit, and as a result, enjoy fellowship with one another, live in a way that is worthy of it. It encourages people to live in a way that is worthy of those who have accepted God and become Christians. It encourages people to walk in a way that is worthy of being citizens of heaven. Next is verse 2. There is a part that says, be one, but Paul also took up the theme of one in chapter 1, verse 27. First, let us look at the word one in chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. This verse also encourages us to live a life worthy of the gospel. The Philippian church was being persecuted by the environment around them, so being one is a very important and necessary equipment when confronting such things. Being one is not only a useful weapon against the world, but also that it belongs to the essence of the Christian life, he says. Then he says that being one, as he shows us in chapter 2, is something that fills Paul with joy. Paul is now living in prison, and it seems that his life is not an easy one, but one that involves suffering, being in chains. But he is saying that if he could hear the Philippians church say that they are united as they do in chapter 2, nothing would make him happier. The one in verse 27, mentioned earlier, has elements such as stand firm and fight. It appears to refer to an outward action, something external. In chapter 2, verse 2, I get the impression that the demand to be one is not some external action, but something internal. Paul is talking about the internal attitude of the Christian, such as thoughts, loving kindness, and so on. And he seems to be recommending to be one in these internal areas. So, what was preventing the Philippian church from being internally one? I think we can get a hint from verse 3. Verse 3. Do not do anything out of selfishness or vanity. The selfish thoughts here is the same word used for a partisanship in verse chapter 1, verse 15. They are preaching Christ, but some people seem to have had a kind of a competitive mindset that they preached with this partisanship. This sense of competition can communicate Christ, but it can destroy reconciliation within the church, and Paul is saying that he suffers because of this. Vanity has the basic concept of vain views and error. It refers vain conceit to be boastful and selfish, unfounded confidence, and unprofitable views. People who are motivated by this are those who arrogantly claim to have the right view, but are actually in error. Such people are also those who are conceited without reason, delusional, covetous of honor, envious of others, jealous, and challenge others to compete with them. Thus, they are also those who try to fight to prove that their ideas are correct. In fact, you can be partisan and still share Christ. You can see the effect. Through evangelism, people believe in Christ, but Paul is very distressed when Christians insist on their own righteousness to each other and have no regard for the other. I think Paul is demanding that whoever or whatever it is cease the desire to boast, and that each of us look back at ourselves and reflect on any possibility, partisanship, or vanity that we may have had that led us to do so. Where there is a vain vanity, no matter how good we try to do, we cannot be one in it, even if it is a work for God, and even if that work produces good results. Christ will be transmitted, but it will be to the detriment of God. Then Paul says, "Humble yourselves and consider one another better than yourselves. Each of you look not only to yourselves, but also to others." This is a positive exhortation. I believe that this is what our community, a community with the nationality in heaven, teaches us. Verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Paul also gives us an example. He encourages us to have the same mindset as that in Christ Jesus. So what is the mindset of Christ Jesus? I believe it is written in verses 6 through 11. Verses 6 through 11 are said to be a hymn or poem. Perhaps it is the same hymn that Paul was singing when he wrote his letter to the Philippian church. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what is the example set by Jesus? It is said, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. This is the exact opposite of Adam. In Genesis, when the serpent says, when you eat of the fruit, your eyes will be opened, and you will know good and evil like God, Adam tried to be equal with God. As a result, sin spread to all mankind, The same is true of the Tower of Babel. Let us build a tower that will reach heaven, and let us make a name for ourselves. Higher, higher, to reach God, to become God. But on the contrary, Jesus Christ did not claim the position of being God, but rather abandoned it and became man. I thought there was no way to explain how the Creator became a creature. Not only that, but he became a servant of all men and lowered himself. In obedience, he was killed on the cross, but this death was reversed and he was exalted. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself, even death. Unlike those who go high, Jesus goes low and low. Unlike those who claim to be me, 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 he emptied himself. But by this, Jesus, who is exalted, may be the principle of the kingdom of God, unlike the principle of the fallen human world. This work of Jesus as a servant led to a scene where every tongue confessed Jesus Christ is Lord, and this was to the glory of God. I said that Philippian church was a zealous church. They were courageous and devout enough to spread the word about Christ without fearing Roman persecution. I thought that their goal of evangelism, that is, the work of spreading the word about Jesus Christ, might have been a show of partisanship. The correctness of their own way of doing things. However, Paul encourages them to follow the example of Jesus Christ, who became him his servant. And in this respect, Paul is the same. In other letters, he sometimes introduces himself as an apostle, beginning with Paul the apostle. However, in his letter to the Philippians, he also seems to express that he was also taking the form of a servant, saying, Paul, the servant of Christ Jesus, in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul also encourages us to fight as one against the outside world and to serve and unite with other Christians by seeing each other as superior to ourselves in terms of our internal attitude. In verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. In terms of humility, the example of Jesus Christ is more than just putting others above yourselves. For example, this is how it should be. If something is a good, wise, that someone is a good one, a good, wise, earnest, pious, and excellent person to whom all men would gladly bow, it would not be difficult to humble oneself before him or her. But what these verses are saying here is not conditional. We are talking about humbling ourselves before a person, even one who lacks these good traits. Did Jesus humble himself and serve because we humans have even a little bit of appearance of being worthy to be served, even a little bit of appearance of being respected, even a little bit of the appearance of being good by God's standard? No, he served us with none at all. By God's standards, we are perishable. But we have a habit of looking for and finding the good in our own standards in order to humble ourselves before him or her, and only then do we humble ourselves. So when we have to be humble as Christians, but it is difficult, we sometimes try our best to find the good points of the other person. Of course, this is not a bad thing, but Paul is saying that Christians must respect each other unconditionally. The problem of division in the Philippian church will not be resolved because we can respect each other because we have certain grounds for doing so, or because we have a certain good point. But when we can respect each other, even if the other person has no good points, or even if there is no grounds for doing so. What I want to say is that the fundamental problem of a division is not in other person's abilities or goodness, but in the attitude of one's heart. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, it says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain." I think Paul's exhortation and command is for each of us to choose to humble ourselves and to think of others better than ourselves. Isn't this appropriate response for us who have a citizenship in the kingdom of heaven? It is this kind of walk that the glory of God will be revealed on earth. We carefully consider what went well and what did not go well throughout this year. Through various activities throughout this year, what do we look back on, and what are we working to improve? Outwardly, it is to be one and spread the word about Christ. Inwardly, it is to be one and serve each other. We want to acknowledge the hardships of our fellow workers in faith who have lived together with us in the Lord over the past year. And whether the results were good or bad, we want to unconditionally humble ourselves to one another, take on the form of the servants, and embrace the mind of Christ Jesus, serving one another. Let us conclude. We are those who have a heavenly nationality and walk on earth. We pray and work for the spread of Christ in the world. God manifests His glory through the image of ours and does His work of evangelization. He has also taught us the desire that we should have. It is the desire to humble ourselves and consider one another better than ourselves. It is to think unconditionally that the others are superior. Let us remember the image of Jesus, who gave up His own image to become a servant, and let us embrace and practice this thought and walk as the light of the world. Light of the world. In this last service of the year, we would like to thank Jesus for protecting us in all our activities and lives this year. And we would like to reflect on ourselves and move forward into the new year, embracing Jesus' mindset. Let us pray.